committee wants to thank each of you for the trust and for the support that you have shown the members of our search committee these last 11 months. Your prayers and this process have led to this day. Second, I want to welcome Reverend Chrissy Tatum Williamson to our pulpit today. Many of you all have had a chance to meet and interact with her and her family over the last few days and hear from us about this process on Tuesday night, so I won't belabor this introduction, but she comes to us with a breadth of ministry and leadership experiences and currently serves as associate minister at Myers Park Baptist Church in Charlotte. She has a Master's of Divinity from Wake Forest Divinity School, where she met her husband, Justin, who is a hospice chaplain. She has a Master's in Theology from Union Seminary in New York and a Bachelor's of Arts from Furman. Chrissy and Justin also have a 5-year-old daughter, Mia, who I can say, after spending Friday night with her and my girls, is just as spunky and delightful as our children at Greystone. And in addition, Chrissy has some family members here, and we want to welcome you all today to our church. We're so glad that you're here. Finally, I want to say welcome to each of you who are here today. I see some faces in our midst I haven't seen in a while, and some faces I've known almost my whole life. I also see some brand new faces, and we're really excited about all of that. Just a few logistical reminders. We do have the pew cards for you to fill out and let us know that you were here this Sunday. And we really truly give thanks for the Spirit that brought all of us here together today. It's been quite a week. Many of us come here with heavy hearts, saddened and angered by the violence that's happened in our world. And we also gather today in joy in view of this call. But we come today knowing that the God who is present in our sorrow and our despair is the same God who brings us together in joy and in love. So come, let us worship that God together.
Good morning. Please join me as we do a responsive reading as found in the order of worship. We gather this morning building upon the foundation of love.
Made by those who have gone before us.
Following in their footsteps, we gather for the building up of God's kingdom.
Honoring our individuality and working towards unity.
We gather this morning as one body.
One body with many parts, uniquely gifted and called together by the Spirit.
Let us worship God and draw near to one another as one body with many parts.
Amen, amen. It's a family this morning, and we need your voice. So with one voice, we'll worship the Lord, give thanksgiving, and we need you to do that. The song is printed there. Oh, how good it is when the family of faith gather together. Let's stand together as we sing. Can we sing together? Oh, how good it is. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruit of His presence here among us. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. Oh, how good it is. Oh, how good it is on this church. Sing it again with one voice and with one voice. The Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. Amen and amen. Let's find our seat.
Good morning, friends. If anybody else wants to come down for a children's message, come on down. We're happy to have you here. Welcome, everybody. So, this is a very special Sunday. Who can tell me what's so special about today? That's right. We're welcoming some new friends. We're welcoming a Pastor Chrissy today.
So Laura and I are on the pastor search team, and we're so excited that God has called Pastor Chrissy to be with us today. All year, we've been praying a special prayer that God would make us think like God's heart and that God would provide exactly who our church needs. And you know what, guys? We believe God has answered our prayer.
So I have a question. Have any of y'all ever been the new kid before? Can you raise your hand if you've ever been a new kid? Me too. I've been a new kid. Can you tell me, what does it feel like? How did it feel to be the new kid? What? Kind of sad? What else? What do you think it feels like? A little scary? Yeah. Sometimes it can feel a little scary, a little sad to be a new kid. Well, Jesus has something important to tell us about how we should treat other people. So here's what Jesus says in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 37, okay? Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me."
All right, so what do you think was the most important word in that Bible verse? Which one did you hear a lot?
Okay, I'll read it one more time. All right, listen really careful now that we know there's a question coming next. Sometimes it's tricky to listen if we don't know there's a question coming next. So I want you to listen. Listen to what Jesus says in the book of Mark. And after I read it again, I want you to tell me what you think was the most important word, okay? All right, here we go. "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me."
So, what do you think are some good ways to welcome our friends who might feel like a new kid? guide them around and show them around? Mm-hmm. Kindness. Mm-hmm. Good. Invite them to play. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Fill them in. That's important. That's a good note.
Those are all really good ways that we can welcome new friends. All right. You ready? We're going to pray now. Here we go. Father God, we love you, and we're so thankful that you love us. Thank you for loving this church family and for knowing exactly who you want us to be. Please help us to welcome one another with love. Amen. All right, guys, thank you. You can all go back to your seats.
Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near. Would you sing that with me? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I have promised to be always. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear.
Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. When righteous cry for help, the Lord hears, and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from all. He heaps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Don't be afraid. Sing it with me. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than
me.
Don't be afraid.
My love is stronger. And I have promised to.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
We remember this morning the saints who have worshiped with us in this sanctuary, friends who have shared the journey with us, friends who taught us, encouraged us, believed in us, friends who welcomed us and stood with us to sing your praise. Most days we remember them as everyday normal people, but on this morning we remember them as saints, as members of your holy congregation on high. We remember them this day for comfort, for truly they are missed. We remember them this day for wisdom. They taught us so much. We remember them this day for strength. Their memory is an encouragement and a reminder of your grace and your power.
Truly on this day, our memory is a prayer of thanksgiving and celebration. Thanksgiving and celebration for Nancy Godwin.
Roger Gardner. Sylvia Goulding. Anne Ashcraft. While they are not present in this space, on this All Saints Sunday, we are confident that they are with you, gathered in the company of all the saints, holding forth their alleluias in praise and worship and joy. And on this morning, we join them in the song.
Hey, everybody. So just so you know, you guys can take a seat. That went in the bulletin, but if you guys didn't hear earlier, my name is Jackson Hollingsworth, and I am the youth representative on the Pastor Search Committee. And before we get to the prayer, I just want to say a few words. So first, just on the behalf of all the youth, I want to thank you guys for all the camps and retreats that we get to do. One's coming up, I believe, next week. Yes, next week. And I want to thank you guys for just mentoring the youth in general. Like specifically, I've certainly grown a lot thanks to Greystone. Having the chance to serve on the Pastor Search Committee has been a huge experience that I definitely will carry for the rest of my life. And not all churches give the youth a chance to serve on a committee this important or this big. The youth has really helped me grow into the person that I am today, and I want to thank Greystone and my youth, of course, for just everything that they've been able to do for me. And when we dedicate babies, we promise to raise the babies, and that's as a church. And I want to thank the entire church for following through with those promises, even though I wasn't here since a baby, but I felt like I've been raised by this church. So just as you continue thinking about your stewardship devotional and such throughout the week, I just want to remind you guys how grateful and how happy the youth are, how thankful we are for all you've done for us. Now please pray with me. God, we thank you for these gifts, and we ask you to bless them and to help them work in our church and the world beyond Greystone. Amen.
invite you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel, which comes this morning from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right. Teacher, you have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
It's been a while since I've been the new kid, but it is good to be the new kid. I think our children summarized it perfectly when they used words like scary and exciting to describe what it is to be the new kid in a place like this. Before we get to going with the text today, I want to take a moment to recognize the hard work that has gone into this whole weekend, which is only a small portion of the time and energy that 10 of you have given over the last 18 months as part of the Senior Pastor Search Team. I'm so grateful for your many hours, for your sleepless nights, for the conversations, for the pressing and honest questions, for the endless sermons, I don't even want to know how many, all out of a deep love for this place, for its people, and for God. Thank you. In addition to these 10 dedicated folks, there's a staff team that has worked diligently during interim months for the future of this congregation. And for that team, I give God thanks, and I hope that you'll join me in saying thank you to God for them. In addition to that, there are many of you lay leaders who have labored, the diaconate, the leadership council, committee, and team members, youth and children. You have bonded together during this interim time, and your love for one another is palpable. For that, I give God thanks. I also would be remiss to not give God thanks for the trailblazing women, saints of the global church, who labored in positions of leadership and service, who advocated for women to have the opportunity to stand behind pulpits and preach as God has called them to do. Believe it or not, there are still a lot of churches who would not offer that blessing. So as I stand here before you, I am grateful for you, I am grateful for this opportunity, and I am humbled to be here today as candidate for your next call pastor. Also today, as we have already mentioned, we join with Christians around the world to celebrate All Saints Sunday, a time to recognize and honor those who have gone before us, whose love-built legacies live on in our lives, in our churches. And they continue to give us hope that as we try to build on the foundations of love they have laid for us, we will do them well. In that spirit, let us pray together. Good and gracious God, still our minds, calm our nerves, open our hearts, and fill us mind, body, soul, and strength, that we might hear a word, not a word from me, but a word from you, O God. It is in that spirit that we pray, and in the name of Jesus, that we ask these things. Amen. So the holiday season will soon be upon us. If you've been to any retail store since Halloween, you might have seen that the holiday season actually already is upon us. I was stunned to pull into the Walmart parking lot and see a gigantic Christmas tree inflated outside. Need I remind you, it is not yet Thanksgiving. It's too early, in my opinion, for Christmas stuff to be out, but I'm also quick to say that the holiday season is near, and so it is time for me to watch my favorite movie, which is Love Actually. Love Actually is a romantic comedy. In fact, I'm a sucker for just about any good romantic comedy or any bad romantic comedy. And Love Actually is the rom-com of rom-coms. It is set up to be the romantic comedy of romantic comedies. The opening scene takes place at Heathrow Airport. Lots of people coming from different places and times come together in close proximity. They brush up against one another, speaking different languages, offering different cultures, and coming from their different walks of life. And as the scene unfolds, there is music in the background, which is broken only by the beautiful British-accented voice of Hugh Grant. As he's playing the newly elected role of the Prime Minister of Great Britain, he offers an opening to this film with a beautiful monologue. And his first few words are this: "General opinion starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed." Now, normally, I know in my gut that this isn't true, but this week, watching news of violence erupting in synagogues and in school hallways, and even in grocery stores, it's hard to negate this claim. Like many of you, I have spent the last 10 days or so wondering if there is any hope at all, wondering if we can turn this thing around, wondering if there is room for love in our world, and fearing that we might indeed live in a world that is defined by hatred and greed. This week, like many of you, I found myself at candlelight vigils, holding hands and praying with church members and neighbors who just needed to hold one another and ask God why. In addition to this physical violence that's played out in synagogues, hallways, and stores, there's another kind of violence that's playing out on our TV screens and social media feeds as we near the end of another contentious election cycle. Partisan lines are clearly drawn in the sand, and no one on either side dares to reach across. Divisions that could and probably should stay in Washington somehow work their way into our closest relationships at work, at home, at church. We are a divided people through and through. Today's gospel from the reading of Mark chapter 12. As we enter the story, we enter finding Jesus in the Jerusalem temple, where he's confronted by religious and political authorities who are working together, demanding that he take a side at the table. Their questioning is relentless, and just when you think Jesus might catch a break, a scribe enters the scene and poses a seemingly innocent question. Some believe that the scribe probably witnessed the previous confrontations and was enthralled by Jesus' own knowledge of Scripture. Being a scribe and a Scripture expert, he asks himself, and he poses the question out loud to Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" Some scholars have called this a trap. They say it's an impossible question. For to rank all the components of Torah's 613 laws, to choose one and lift it up as more important than the other. These scholars believe that this was a trick set up to trick Jesus into choosing the wrong option, the wrong law upon which to hang his hat. The scribe would prove that Jesus was wrong and maintain his position as the authority in the temple. Now, I know this seems a little strange, but if you could just bear with me for a moment and imagine a world in which some have power, some do not, and that those who have power have a vested interest in holding on to it, then we could see how this particular interpretation might make sense. On the other hand, other scholars have given the scribe more credit, saying that he truly was impressed by Jesus' knowledge of Torah and that he really was genuinely curious. Of all the laws and the commandments, which one is the most important? What's the most important thing, Jesus? We all want to know. Either way, Jesus' response both honored the tradition and thrust forward a new way of interpreting Torah law, and this new way still guides us and challenges us today as we wrestle with our own question about what is the most important thing. Jesus certainly could have chosen one of the more cut and dry commandments. He could have said, don't murder, don't work on the Sabbath, or don't eat shrimp. But Jesus chose to say, love. Honoring the tradition, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then building upon this law from Deuteronomy, Jesus layers in Leviticus saying, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Jesus simply love. At least according to Mark's gospel, love of neighbor becomes the means by which we embody God's love in the world and by which we embody our love to God. Seems simple, right? Well, you probably heard the old joke about Baptists, right? You can talk back to me. Get two Baptists together, and how many opinions do you have? Three? We do have some Baptists in the house, that's right. You get Baptists together, you get two in a room, and quickly you'll discover that you have three options. Three options. You're also probably aware that as Baptists, our differences of opinion can lead to judgment, hateful speech, broken relationships, and a denominational split. How many Baptist associations do you think we have, and why? Throughout our history, we have divided our communion over racism, sexism, biblical interpretation, membership standards, and the list goes on. And Baptists are not alone in our divisive and divided past. One historian quotes that civil conversation across theological divides has not been the lot of most Christians in recent history. We rather have grown accustomed to heated exchanges on the floor of denominational assemblies wherein one side means to expose the apostasy of the other. Does it sound familiar to you? Greystone itself was born in a time that could be characterized like this. Sociologist Robert Lunsdale, in your book, noted that in the time of Greystone's birth, there was, quote, a growing division between religious conservatives and religious liberals. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Catholics, indeed all the major groups in American religious life were affected by these divisions. The difference reflected both in mindset and a faith stance that were expressed in conflicting views on a variety of important issues: abortion, school prayer, pornography, homosexuality, the status of women, and others. In spite of the general feeling that nearly all Christians believe we ought to love one another, these differing convictions became divisive. And yet, even amongst this context, the 17 founding members of this church decided that this was the time for a new mission to emerge in North Raleigh. You know the stories better than I do, but over the last several months, I have enjoyed getting to hear them. Listening to your firsthand accounts and early memories around unity and vision. Unity that wasn't achieved from sameness, but unity that was set on responding to God's call to bring the gospel alongside the growth of the city in North Raleigh. In the midst of denominational division, the founding mothers and fathers of this church decided to build a foundation of love that is stronger than division and stronger than difference. In the midst of theological argumentation and judgment, they decided to build a church where every member is a minister and every person is called to live out the greatest commandment on this little corner of Ledline and Sawmill Road. And in the midst of some of these most difficult years of Baptist life, when teachers and preachers were being ousted for as much, those 17 founding members started a church where every member, male and female, young and old, was a minister. I have loved reading about the ways that you saw no need for a women's missionary union or a Baptist brotherhood because you knew that women and men could join together around the mission. And I've also listened to your memories and have enjoyed hearing the stories of those early moments. Just this week, Carol Lee Brown remembered, and this is a quote, when 17 of us founded this church, we didn't always agree on everything, but we loved each other, and we hugged each other. As I continue to listen to your stories and to read through the history, I'm reminded of Paul's words to the church in Corinth, and a familiar image emerges for me about a church that is learning how to be the body of Christ in North Raleigh, a body who knows that while we may have different gifts, we may have different passions, different opinions, different affiliations, and different theological ideas, we are united around one mission, which is to love God and to love our neighbors, no matter who they are. And this is our call on this corner of Raleigh and at every other intersection in which we find ourselves in our lives. There is no greater commandment. There are always going to be ample opportunities for us to claim that our way is the only way. And at that moment, we will surrender to this hopeless reality that we cannot find unity. And if that is our reality, then we run the risk of losing our friends, losing our families, and losing our churches simply because we couldn't agree. As a church, you have identified several difficult conversations that you know you have to have. I've heard many of you name them in our large group and small group conversations over the course of the last several months and this weekend. You know, and I know, there will be days ahead that hold disagreement and the temptation to move toward division. But even as you name those challenges, you consistently describe yourself as family. Perhaps this is why the weight of those conversations feels so heavy. You're more than a community. You're more than a church. You're a family, and nobody wants to see this family broken. Every single member of the search committee used that word when I went around the table the first time and said, "Tell me what you love about this church." And yet we all know that most families, if not all families, are wrought with disagreement. But at the end of the day, families, whether formed by birth or by choice, are united in love for one another. And it's that love that keeps us coming back to the table, be it the Thanksgiving table, the Wednesday night supper table, or the communion table. In addition to all the family talk I've been hearing for the last several months, I've been learning about you all and how you continue to love your neighbors. From Buddy Brig to clothing ministry, from Trunk or Treat to working with refugees, from Lumberton to Arkansas, Greystone is a church that in many ways has figured out how to love its neighbors. Which helps me know that you already know more than you think you do about loving yourselves, even across lines of difference. Over the course of this process and this weekend, be honest, y'all have been trying to figure out how I might fit in here. The church I currently serve isn't exactly the same as this one, and yet there is something that seems to be calling us together. In many ways, the raw and honest conversations that have bubbled up in this last week and over the course of the weekend are showing us that Greystone is already a family that is wrought with difference and at times disagreement. You have different opinions about things. You have different passions. You have different theological perspectives and different ideas about the future of this church. And yet here you are, members of this beautiful, unique family planted in North Raleigh. Over time, you have shared life together. You have leaned in moments of joy and pain and service to your neighbors. You have learned how to love God, how to love one another, how to love your neighbors together. I know it's scary to think about leaning into difference, trusting that unity can indeed grow without sameness. Maybe it's even impossible to believe that a church could be a place where people of all kinds of persuasions, liberal, conservative, moderate, progressive, active, passive, and maybe even undecided, could join together in the work of loving God and loving neighbor. You've asked me about my calling, to come and serve this congregation as senior pastor, and when I think about that question, which, like the one posed by the scribe in our text today, there are a million possible answers. But the only one that I can muster today in this moment is this. When I think about the world and the ways that we are all divvied up in camps of comfort and sameness, my soul weeps for the rich blessings that can be gained from encounters of difference. And when I think about the future of a church, the global church, working together across those lines, I see all of you and I'm encouraged. When I look out, I see I remember the 17 courageous souls who took a leap of faith not that long ago and laid a foundation of love. I'm captivated by their vision of a local church that exists for the purpose of loving its neighbors through worship, faith formation, and mission. And as I look out and I see each of you, I see that same love that you still have for one another. A love that compels you to speak up like you did yesterday about what you want and need from your church. A love that dreams with you about a growing and vibrant church. A love that leads you to deep convictions. And a love that drives you to keep showing up to break bread together. It is an elusive love this day and age. But I can see it when I look out at you. General opinion is starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and grief. But I don't see that. Seems to me that love is indeed everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, old friends. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling that you'll find love actually is all around. I can see it when I look at you. Can you see it too? Amen.
What is our response? Maybe rhetorical, but you are free to respond as well out loud. But certainly a response is needed when we come face to face with the Word of God and the truth that's there. Amanda's going to be up front. Is there a decision you need to make today that you want to make public or you just need to share with somebody? That might be a prayer request. She's here to accept you. But wherever you are in this room this morning, a response is needed. And a song is here to give you words to that response. If you like to use this, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? The words and the music are printed there. Let's stand together as we share in response. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you with thy love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you? Will you leave yourself? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me?
Will you love the you you hide if I am a and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me?
Gracestone, I offer to you absolutely words of peace, but I also offer to you in this season a word of gratitude. And I ask that as we share with each other in this moment, that you would let the people around you know how very grateful you are for this congregation, for this community of faith, and for each other. For today, we are grateful.
In all things, thanks be to God.
Share your gratitude with one another. Just a few notes. You will see that after the post lead, we will be moving into a time of church business. I will remind you that in order to vote, which we will be doing today, we will be voting on the call of Chrissy Williamson Tatum. Y'all, it's been a long week. We will be voting on that call. That call is open to church members. And so if you're not a member of Greystone Church, if you're visiting with us today, we are delighted that you are here. You might want to take this sending song, this time of singing, as a way to make your way out the door. I will be at the back to greet you. Just know that your presence is welcome here, and we are grateful for you indeed. There is much that goes on in the life of our community. In order to be brief, I will encourage you to look at your worship guide. Find a way to participate in the life and work of this church in the coming week. I encourage you to do so. Let's sing together.
On that same song, you'll find a last stanza. Lord, your summons echoes true when you call my name. Let's sing that as some of you go out, the rest of you will stay. Last stanza there. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. When your company steps show, thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Let's take a seat. Oh, well, yeah, let's do that and then also hear a benediction as they're seated. Go ahead and sit down.
But as we go, as we leave the comfort of this sanctuary, may the peace of God go with us, empowering us to be agents of peace in our world. May the joy of God fill our hearts, enlivening us to bring joy to this hurting world. And may the love of God consume us so that in every moment of every day, all we know to do is love. Amen.